Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford. Come right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. All right, we got a lot of shows out there for you in our library, so check them all out. Plus, if you can, like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever you can to go ahead and support us. And if you can go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we would certainly appreciate it. We're just trying to get the kinks out right now because we're switching over to hopefully a new way of recording things. So we truly appreciate your patience on that. But we are now live on YouTube, on Twitch. That's right, Lakers Fast Break on Twitch, and also Facebook as well. So if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right there at Lakers Fast Break. Also, as well, the great folks of Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, Lakerholics.com. Also, as well, the great folks at LakersBall.com. Go ahead and catch Ox1947, a.k.a. Joe Soro, today at LakersBall.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, it is almost that time. One of my favorite times of the NBA year is coming very soon. It approaches on us very, very soon. It is the NBA free agency time. We're going to have an NBA free agency special live as it happens starting at 2:30 p.m. Pacific on Thursday. But tonight we're going to be talking about some of the targets that we think the Lakers might, or the targets that we think the Lakers should go after in free agency. With all the news out there, the Lakers today didn't create too much of a stir. They only picked up the contracts of Stanley Johnson and Wenyen Gabriel. That's pretty much the only news that's out there as far as Lakers. They've been staying under the radar. They obviously, as you've heard already out there, did not get Kyrie because Kyrie Irving opted into the final year of his contract with the Brooklyn Nets. And they obviously didn't get John Wall either, because John Wall got a buyout of $6.5 million from the Houston Rockets out of his $47 million contract, which is now going to go ahead and be replaced by the $6.5 million contract rumored to be picked up by the Los Angeles Clippers. So he's headed over to the Clippers. So really not much to talk about in Lakers land yet, but still, who do we think is going to help out the Lakers, and who do we think we can get? And here today to talk about that is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check what he's doing today at LakersBall.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here. First time trying this thing with Restream, seeing how it goes from here. Appreciate your patience on everything, but you're eyeing what I'm eyeing as far as who should the Lakers target in free agency this year.
We're a little limited on money and talent. You know, the news usually will always include the Lakers on any player, it seems like, and especially if it's a player that's unfortunately washed up. I think the most recent one I've learned in the last few hours is Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin apparently is going to either choose – he's coming back to L.A. and he's going to pick either the Clippers or the Lakers, which is kind of odd considering his exodus from the Clippers. Why would he go back there? I'd be kind of curious to see that. But I have been very vocal, especially on Lakers Ball, that I do not want a single veteran washed up player on this team. If you're going to go that route, it would have to be an AC Green or someone who is AC Green is the first thing that came to my mind. Someone who's a veteran, who's limited, but can still, or a JaVale McGee.
You're talking about an AC Green way back when, at the tail end of his career.
An AC Green type veteran, where.
Because he's a little old right now.
Yes. No, not literally now. No, I'm talking a AC Green type veteran that's actually going to contribute in some degree, instead of having someone like a Trevor Ariza who misses 60 games, decides to play for 2 weeks, and then, you know, doesn't really do much after that. I mean, I don't even know what the point of that was. I don't know what the point of these veteran signages are when you already know that they're not going to be able to play, especially in an era where you have to be playing up and down, up and down, up and down. The reason why this league has turned into a young man's game. Now, I say that it's always been a young man's game, but veteran young has controlled the game. Right now, like second, third, and fourth year young players are starting to take control of the game just because it's a 7 seconds or less type offense that the league has adopted. It's just that, you know, teams like Golden State have the two best shooters that ever lived. And their whole, you know, identity is based off of, you know, mastering that particular way of playing. And right now the league is starting to kind of catch up to that. And there are more talented young players that are effective in that mode. The Lakers are, I don't know if I'm being naive here, but I think the league kind of got irritated about crazy moves before the deadline when you could talk to people. Granted, there's been some news that have come out, but I think the reason why it's been quiet is because I think maybe Silver said, listen, you guys kind of kept getting out of hand here. I don't mind a couple things here and there just because that's, you know, just to kind of keep the league, you know, in the news a little bit. So, you know, since the finals ended and the draft ended, but I don't want to end up finding out that we're having like blockbuster deals a week before you're supposed to be doing that. So I have an assumption that when we get on air tomorrow, we are going to, I think the activity is going to go crazy. Whether the Lakers are going to be included in that, I'm going to probably take a guess and say no. Now, we have been led to believe that Westbrook is going to be a Laker opening night and likely finish out the year. For some weird reason, I have a feeling I don't think that's going to happen. I'm probably wrong. I was wrong last year. I might be wrong on this one. Russell Westbrook might just be my Eli Manning, as I am Tom Brady.
Well, let me ask you this, because why do you still continue to think that? Because as much as I would like to believe that that's the case, I mean, as we've talked about, as you've talked about, the number of assets we would have to go along in a trade are few. The options, one where now we can trade Russell Westbrook, as of now, are few, because Detroit in the past couple days has done some trades with New York that's filled up their salary cap. I know Laker Tom, on his latest article, Lakerholics.com, has also indicated that he would love to see a trade for Russell Westbrook back to Oklahoma City. But as I indicated on that site, I don't think that that's going to happen, simply because of the fact that Oklahoma City now has a lot of things that they need to take care of because of all the individuals they have on their roster. They don't have the room that they once did. They're no longer the salary dumping team that they once were. I mean, they have Derek Favors. They can do a couple things, but they can't do $47 million. Plus the fact that they're not a typical free agent stop or destination. So you literally cannot go ahead and say, okay, oh yeah, it's great that they could go ahead and have Russell Westbrook's money coming off in the summer. They'll be a free agent. Nobody wants to go as a major free agent to Oklahoma City, no matter how good they're looking. So I ask you, my friend, what are the available options now to get Russell Westbrook away from LA? I think they're few to none.
There are teams out there, New York, Charlotte.
Well, New York is just put down a whole bunch of trades just to, so they can go ahead and offer $30 million a year for
Chandler. Right,
Brunson.
Which they will, but there is a locker room problem there and a fan problem there with, let's say, a Julius Randle, right?
Yes.
So I'll leave that at that, and then I'll elaborate on that in a second here. But you have teams that say like Indiana, Charlotte, New York that have needs as well, and this is likely not going to be a straight up trade. That I can almost guarantee, just like it was guaranteed that Kyrie was not going to not opt in and collect this $36.7 million. I think 36.7. I thought the fact that people had any feeling that Kyrie was gonna opt out and to take the mid-level exception, I thought that was just asinine. So what I want to wait to see is I want to see what 3 and 4 teams might come together to create something. That is a chance. I think there's a chance there. Where I don't know how it would work. I don't know, you know, the teams that might come in here. I don't know. I don't know how it would work, but I do know that it would take a 3 or 4 team trade to probably make something work. The New York Knicks thing was intriguing because Fournier, Randle, and then, you know, a filler at that point for a Westbrook, just because New York's got some issues with you know, Julius Randle, the fact that he's got four years left on his contract. I thought that might be something that would make sense. I think Julius Randle is a talented player, and he's still young. And I would think he could probably play pretty well next to AD and LeBron. Now, come playoff time, someone had mentioned on Lakers Ball that Julius Randle during the playoffs might – kind of shift over to more of a six-man role because LeBron tends to play better as a point power forward during the playoffs. If Julius Randle can accept that and it helps the team, you know, advance, I think there might be a possibility that that would work. The Lakers have a problem here. And if they are delusional in thinking that Darvin Ham is going to psychoanalyze Russell Westbrook into making layups when he was missing maybe 2 or 3 layups a game.
Consistently.
I mean, I thought I was watching Derek Fisher in the past. The problem with Russell was at least Fisher was, you know, not sabotaging the team chemistry with terrible defensive team defensive assignments. Didn't blame everyone but himself when he did make mistakes or whatever. And a lot of times the emotional and credibility and accountability part of playing team basketball, especially in the NBA, a lot of times that will trump your play being mediocre. There's a lot of factors in it. The fact of the matter is Russell Westbrook is not going to get better. I wish he would get better, but he's not.
He just has a game that does not fit the modern NBA right now. I mean, he's going to first ballot Hall of Famer, no problem. And former MVP, triple-double king, goes on and on and on. But right now, as I indicated when they originally traded for him, I said it was a bad move from the start. I was the one that was said right at the forefront, like many other analysts, from the start, because he just does not have a fit for the modern game. He shoots poorly from outside. He does not play defense. And at this point, you know, his free throws and his layups are not consistent. So at this point in time, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place right now with the fact that you cannot move. Just to see over the past few days, the fact that he is, you know, the Lakers have been trying to go ahead and pitch him for the past weeks, trying to any other team that wants to go ahead and take on that $47 million for just 1 year. Nobody wants it. And I'll tell you, it's very, very, very sad to see how far he's fallen from grace. Henry, want to go ahead and say thank you so much for joining us and watching us. To everybody out there watching us on YouTube and Twitch and also Facebook, truly appreciate it. JC Connor, thank you so much for watching us on Facebook. I want you guys going out here and do me a favor. Let us know in the comments who you'd like to see the Lakers target for unrestricted free agents or even restricted free agents, but they're limited on cash. They only have the $6.5 million exception as far as it's concerned that they really can go ahead and do the MLE because they are taxpayer MLE. That's really all they have right now other than minimum contracts. So is Griffin really an option? I hope not, because we already see, like Joe said, how washed he was last season. I really think that you're asking yourself another one of those 30-plus veterans, those 30-year-plus veterans that are just really too old to go ahead and play at a consistent level anymore. So I agree with Joe on that. I'm thinking maybe like a younger player like Mo Bamba, because it looks like Orlando's not going to go ahead and tender him that $10 million. They're going to go ahead and make him at least available out in the marketplace. They can go ahead and maybe put a bid in there for him. I think he's someone that can either stretch the floor for you and also get block some shots for you, especially with his length. There's Chris Boucher, who's also been talked about from Toronto as someone that may be available as well. Joe, do you have any thoughts on someone that you might be interested in for the Lakers to go ahead and get, reach out? Because they all really have, like I said, outside of the minimum contracts, is that $6.5 million MLE.
If you're going to get youth, you know, Bamba, those are the kind of you're going to build a little bit of a base. You got young talent that playing around AD. Like let's use Bamba as an example. Right off the bat, you know, even I kind of looked at like, eh. But then when you start thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute. He plays a position that we do need, and he's got a skill set. And then if you've got an AD and a LeBron playing, and LeBron is the ultimate team player, and AD is a team player, I think you might see an advancement in Bamba's game.
But you're not asking him to do too much, like.
But you're not asking. No, not at all. Not at all. We want the young players to play a role, and this unfortunately is something we screwed up in really badly last year. And assuming that the three-star situation would benefit us last year, losing a KCP, losing a Kuzma, losing a Caruso. It sounds like, oh well, you know, they're just role players, you know, but they were young and they played both sides of the court. Three guys, right? Now we got frustrated with Kyle Kuzma because we were expecting Kyle Kuzma to be the next Rashard Lewis. That was to me his ceiling. Rashard Lewis, he's got the same frame. He's, you know. Late first round pick, Rashard Lewis, I believe, came out of high school. So you have this kind of like unknown player. It both had unknown kind of who are these guys to all of a sudden coming out the gate and doing really well. And Kuzma was kind of climbing up a little bit. But unfortunately, you know, when you start to have to worry about wins versus before LeBron came, where you were just kind of, you knew that the Lakers weren't going to do much and the pressure wasn't there. A little easier to hit those open shots versus when you're playing the Celtics on the road and first place is online or something.
Well, with KCP, you're exactly right, because he is still a very valuable guy to have around. Just look with the fact that he was traded with Ish Smith today, going to Denver in the trade for Barton and Monte Morris. I think that Washington actually got a good trade out of it, but I know that Denver was also trying to save money when it concerns Ish Smith's contract being substantially less than Monte Morris. So they're trying to stay under the cap, but getting KCP gives them a valuable role player. So that's, I think, what the Lakers should target, are valuable role players, or people who can go ahead and come off the bench and play a key role. Dante DiVincenzo, who was just, his rights were renounced by Sacramento. He's someone who had a lot of promise when he was playing in Milwaukee, and his career got derailed a little bit by injury. You never know. You might be able to pick him up on the cheap. There's players out there, I think, that if you look hard enough, you're able to go ahead and find that may be able to make a better contribution than the guys you picked up last year.
What have the Lakers done in the last 5 years? Actually, even more than 5 years. It's not talked a lot about because this franchise is about winning championships. But the two things that they've done very well since the Julius Randle draft of 14 is draft well and pick up guys that are unknowns, guys like Caruso, guys like Reeves. These guys, drafting THT in the second round, and despite his struggles this year, which I wasn't his fault. He was put into roles that he had no business being in. They have been very good at getting talent in obscure areas, areas that in the NBA, in NBA history has not really been where you would find talent. NBA players are extremely hard to find outside the top five, maybe top 10 of a draft. It was like that for decades, and then it slowly started getting a little bit better. You were able to find a Giannis in the mid teens. You found a Steve Nash in the mid teens. I don't put Kobe in that because Kobe was the first perimeter player that came out from high school. No one would have possibly known he would have turned into what he turned into. But there has been this last, let's say, 20 plus years. Especially in the last 10 years, where you have these guys that aren't being picked in the top three. Another one is Kawhi Leonard, where they're becoming stars and they're leading their teams to championships. And the Lakers have been very good at drafting, and they've been very good. And it didn't matter if it was the second pick, the seventh pick, the second round pick, or getting guys from the G League, undrafted. Second round. Look, I mean, they've been doing that really well. The issue is this last year was they believed, like some of us believe, that if we get a Russell Westbrook and have him be the third option, ooh, that might be something. Hey, LeBron is there. LeBron can play with anybody. Well, after 19 years, we finally found out that there is one player that LeBron could not play with. And we can't blame LeBron on that one. I mean, he's played with Dwayne Wade. He won a championship with Kyrie Irving. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, look, if LeBron can win with Kyrie, this guy can win with anybody.
Well, I think you were wrong. Well, to me, it's the issue again with Russell Westbrook. It's the thing about the nature of the game. The nature of the game has changed. The way we play the game in the NBA has changed. Obviously, Steph Curry and the way Golden State Warriors, they won championships, the way they played offense has changed the game. The emphasis on three-pointers has changed the game. Russell Westbrook, maybe at the start of LeBron's career or maybe at the middle part of LeBron's career, could have done a really good job complementing LeBron James. At this point in time, no, it's just not a good fit because then the Lakers, when they field out there with LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook, they don't have shooters. Those three guys... only one of them can shoot from the outside. AD is an 18% three-point shooter based off last season. Russell Westbrook is not much higher. So, unfortunately, in today's modern NBA game, it's a hard fit, and it makes defenses that much, you know, it's easier for the defenses to go ahead and be able to focus on them because of the fact that they can't shoot from the outside, and it just clogs up the lane. So, that's the biggest problem right now as far as keeping and retaining Russell Westbrook. Whatever long-term plans you have for them for this season, because it's looking more and more like you're going to be able to, or like you are going to get stuck with keeping Russell Westbrook. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I know Laker Tom's convinced I'm wrong, but at this point in time, I think it's looking more and more like, unfortunately, that Russell Westbrook is still going to be on that roster come opening
night. And that would be tragic because we're not winning a championship. Even if we improve, even if Darvin Ham somehow created a situation in let's say Russell Westbrook's game where he missed one layup a game instead of four. It's not going to matter. It's just not going to matter. This team is the team structure is broken with him in it. The only way, and I don't even think him coming off the bench would matter.
Well, that's what I would suggest. If you're stuck with,
well,
him,
that's your only choice if he's there. Your choice is to bring him off the bench.
Yeah.
However, the issues, and I point to the first month into the season, they weren't playing bad the first month. They were, you know, they were winning and they were beating Memphis and up 20 against Oklahoma City. But the problem was when the going gets tough, which it happens at every single title team during the year, Doesn't matter if it's Golden State. Doesn't matter if it's the Lakers of 01. Maybe the only team I ever saw that didn't have a issue, at least in my time, was during the season, was maybe the 96 Bulls. Okay? That's it. That was the only team that I can remember really didn't have any problems. And really, you can debate that the final situation when they were up 3-0 and then went at the 3-2. Maybe that was you can call that maybe a situation too. But you have a guy who is an integral part of your team who will not be accountable when the going gets tough. And when you're not accountable, you get the result that we got last year. The opposite of that, you saw what happened to the Celtics.
Yeah.
Udoka dropped the hammer. Jaylen Brown stood up. Marcus Smart said something. They all said, look, we're not doing well. We need to change our way of doing things. They all sounded like they took accountability for their crappy play. And guess what? They were two games away from winning a title. And that's the difference, guys. That's the difference when you're talking about an NBA team playing with this kind of talent and playing against the best players in the world. If you don't have some kind of cohesiveness and are able to understand the good and the bad and need to continue to adapt instead of just saying, oh, well, I don't know what this guy's problem was with me. I mean, when he said that at the exit meeting, I just said, Frank Vogel was one AD injury away from probably going back-to-back in championships. And he'd already won a championship. And the fact that we treated him the way he did, and that's the other part about Jeannie and Rob and how they handle that. It's not so much that they made the mistake last year. It's how they've handled things.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It's Joe Sorrell, Ox1947. You can catch him on any of the chat groups right there at LakersBall.com. Plus, our good friends, Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet. Laker Tom will be there for our NBA free agency special tomorrow for LakerHolics.com. Read his latest article today on a possible trade scenario with Oklahoma City. Don't think that would be possible because, again, Oklahoma City is no longer the kind of organization that can go ahead and take on these large contracts like they once did. But go ahead and check out his thoughts and share them today, your thoughts on it. That gives out a possibility at LakerHolics.com. One of the things I want to ask you is for what they could be targeting and what they maybe dream of targeting is possibly someone still big out there that, you know, just renounced the final year of their contract. There's a couple big names that are out there. Most likely they will re-sign with their teams. Most likely, James Harden will re-sign with the 76ers. He's looking to see if he can get a deal that maybe could help out and get more players in the 76ers camp. But you never know. The contract talks could fall apart. Something could happen. And the Lakers might be in play if he demands a trade to go to the Lakers. Same thing with Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal will most likely sign a new 5-year max deal with the Washington Wizards. But things could fall from there. Would this be something that you think that the Lakers, if they demand a trade to the Lakers that they could actually pull off?
There's only one player that's going to demand to go to the Lakers, and that's Kyrie Irving.
Well, that's too late. He's already picked up. Yeah, unless he goes. Yeah, and says,
he would have to go to the front office. And there's been a lot of rumblings that the Nets really don't want to start. They don't want Kyrie anymore.
Well, the Lakers have offered a sign and trade already this week. They were the ones that were actively working on it.
They
don't want Westbrook.
They don't want Westbrook, and because you're trading basically a malcontent for a malcontent. It's I don't know what the Nets are going to do. I think if they're smart, I think they just kind of deal with Kyrie for one more year, hope that Ben Simmons grows a pair, and then try to figure something out next season so that Durant has a chance to have a viable team. I feel bad for Durant.
I mean, Bradley Beal could be a maybe, but then again,
I think Bradley Beal, very
slight chance on that one.
There's no chance Bradley Beal is coming to L.A. Bradley Beal is going to be getting a $246 million extension?
Yeah, right around there. If he signs with Washington, and that's the only place where he can get it.
Right. Would that mean that – I know that Miami's been trying to figure out how to get one more guy over there, and a Bradley Beal would be perfect, but I don't know how they're going to be able to make $50 million work for one guy. I don't know how that's going to work now that he's getting that extension.
One name that could be out there for us is a re-sign. Are you interested in Malik Monk returning? Because he said he would even talk. He's even talked about and said on the record that he might even take a discount just to head back to the Lakers.
That is very admirable of him, and I believe him. But I believe he's going to get more money, and he won't be a Laker next year. Yeah, I don't see that. I don't think. You know, one of the few guys that actually did play hard, even though he was limited on one side of the court. You know, yes. he was a spark on offense, and I enjoyed his game very much. I wish we had a better team for him. I think he would have been an asset in the playoffs with the right offense
and give him a defined role, because you were always playing with him as far as starting, bench. You know, it totally ruined his rhythm.
Continuity is really key. We look back at the 2020 title team, and we see a JaVale McGee, we see a KCP, we see a Kuzma who wasn't making open shots. But the one thing that we were able to do, or the Lakers were able to do, was they had the same lineups coming in. They were doing the same stuff. And that first 3 or 4 months, we were struggling beating the higher end teams, but they were winning the games they were supposed to. And that makes sense. If you've followed sports a lot, when you have a team that's for the first time playing together, you're going to go through those challenges. And the one thing that they weren't doing was they weren't losing the games they weren't supposed to. And then when they were losing those games every now, you know, regularly at the first 3 months to these star teams, you know, it was irritating, but it was understandable. Well, because you kind of can sense it as they were playing. If they just kind of got it together in a couple areas, they'll probably start winning those games. And then they ended up doing that. The Lakers have to look at that situation and build the team based off of that kind of philosophy. The problem is, if they don't get rid of Westbrook, they will never be able to do that. And we have to sit here and wait in the next few days to see if they can get a little bit of Lady Luck behind them. Maybe a team that is more desperate than them to unload people. And where there's some hope is there are teams out there that cannot afford certain players. They have to get rid of Charlotte being one of them. They have to unload players. There's too much money there that they can't afford to pay. So a lot of them don't want to get into that luxury tax area. They can't afford it.
But that's why I see him not being traded until the February trade deadline, my friend, because the fact is that these teams right now all think they're going to be doing well, or at least they have a chance to go ahead in the playoffs for the most part, outside of maybe 3 or 4 teams that actually are trying to go ahead and tank for Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson next year. I mean, these teams, for the most part, think they're going to do well. It's not until February that they realized, hey, we're really not doing that well. We're going to go ahead and take on a contract like Russell Westbrook and make a trade for that simply because we can go ahead and clear the cap space. The thing is, Charlotte's been the only one that's mentioned out there that may be interested in doing it sooner rather than later.
There is no logical answer right now at this moment while we're doing the show. If we were to look at it from just right now, we're effed. We're going to start the season with Russell Westbrook. I keep hearing Blake Griffin and washed up players coming to L.A., even talk of possibly them being, you know, this now Bobby Hield again is reared its head. Buddy Hield. And I'm sitting here going, you're going to pay a guy that plays one side of the, you know, you might as well keep Monk at that point. You know,
Hield's taller, though. Hield has more size. That's the only thing.
He doesn't play good defense.
You're right.
It doesn't play good defense. And then you're asking Pritchard, who hates the Lakers, to do a deal with them. Okay. For what? You know, there's a lot of bad things surrounding the Lakers when they lose. When they win, it's great. It's kind of like this. When the Lakers lose, everybody pounces. When the Lakers win, they everybody hates them. It's like it doesn't matter what it is.
So let me ask you this. We all know that right now that the Lakers are bereft of talent. And, they don't have many assets going into this free agency period tomorrow. Again, we're going to be covering it live starting at 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Going to be trying to go ahead and get it out on our Facebook page. Also, YouTube and Twitch doing it live on all three. So we truly appreciate it if you can watch that. But with those targets that the Lakers have to go after, where would you target first? Which position with the limited amount of resources and the limited amount that we can go ahead and sign individuals, such as the $6.5 million MLE, where do you think that they can go ahead and work with that? Terrell, thanks for watching so much. We truly appreciate it. Pacers deal, if they could get
Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
Cool.
And former MVP. But yeah, Terrell, thanks for watching. I want to mention, though, Terrell, that the Buddy Hield rumors have, like we just talked about, are a possibility. But again, to go ahead, Kevin Pritchard, the GM, would have to.
That deal could happen because if Pritchard wants to fleece the Lakers and the Lakers are willing to get fleeced, they'll give him an injury-ridden Brogdon and Hield. They get out of all that money in 3 years.
I wouldn't mind that. I'll gamble with that.
And then they got to drop. They got to drop a couple. You know, their 27 and 29 picks.
Gonna have to.
I think they could do that. It's a lot of money that they could unload, and to them, they might win that trade at that point. The realistic players at this moment. If I'm targeting and I'm sitting and I'm being realistic and I have somewhat of control over it versus waiting for a team to hope that they say yes, is you do need a center. You do need someone to play with AD down in the block, something where you can be fluid with AD playing the power forward in the center, not having him to play center. And Arkenstein and Bamba are the two names that I've seen and I've that are realistic in being able to acquire without the assistance of someone else for a position that isn't a need.
And they can stretch the floor.
It is a necessary position in this league. You have to have a big that can stretch. That's why guys like Rudy Gobert struggle in the playoffs. It's if you can't, and of course, Dwight Howard, there's been some rumors. I don't know if this is true. He wants to come back to LA only if he starts at center. And I'm saying that I'm thinking to myself, Dwight really cleaned himself up in the Laker fandom. He was a huge contributor to the 2020 team. I was sad to see him go in 2021. Glad he came back in 2022. But unfortunately, Dwight's game is gone. It's obsolete. And I mean, not in the fact that he's, gotten older, but his game does not translate to today's game. We need a big that can stretch the floor and allow AD to do what he needs to do without worrying constantly, man, our big you know, DJ and all these guys that we had, all these washed up guys that didn't know what they were doing. We got to put AD at center now and figure that out, figure the rest out. No, we wouldn't have that problem if we were to get one of those two guys. They're young and they're skilled. And you, and if you've got AD next to them, there's going to be more opportunity for them to be successful. So those are the two right now that I've seen that are realistic acquisitions. And if they can get one of those guys, it would be a positive.
Terrell, I'll just say Terrell is emphasizing that, you know, he's heard that the Lakers might have turned it down. I know they've been shopping Malcolm Brogdon everywhere as far as the Indiana Pacers are concerned. If the Lakers do get that coming around again, I would take it. I would just say, you know, I will deal with the injury issues with Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hield over what you have with Russell Westbrook, because if they come in healthy and if they play 70 games for you, that's a whole lot better. Plus, you could still spend your 6.5 MLE on a center that could still be out there that's comp enough to go ahead and get the job done.
Okay, so word is the Pacers wanted picks. Lakers didn't want it. Lakers didn't want Brogdon's contract. You're hearing a few reasons why. I haven't gotten a definite on what. At this point, you don't really have a choice if you're the Lakers.
Yep.
You really don't, and the league knows that. LeBron James is going to his 20th season. Yes, he is the Tom Brady of the NBA. He's probably going to play another 2 or 3 years. The problem is, how many of those years are going to be title contending years? And I'm sorry, I don't care how good he looks in the offseason, getting ready for this season, it is not fair to expect LeBron James to be playing 35 minutes a game and scoring 30 points. It's not great. You can't do that. You just can't. You can do that with AD, who's 29 in his prime. The problem there is his physical situation going to allow him? LeBron is 20 years in, and really, he's not really 20.
Well, you saw him last year. I mean, he focused on one side of the ball.
Because he has to.
Yeah.
You cannot play. Kobe did it. He did it. All the greats did it. At some point, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they made a movie about how he wouldn't run fast enough to the other side of the court because
winning time.
Airplane. Airplane.
Oh, airplane.
No,
right.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Remember,
right.
There was a joke, you know, you don't really play real hard until the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this is not new, guys. This is not something that See, this is the problem. We have revisionist history in all our minds. A lot of this stuff's happened in the past. We've had all these problems. It's just that we have the information in our hands, literally, with the phone, right away, by the minute. So I'm not going to sit here and expect a LeBron James needs to be fresh for the playoffs.
So
that's where his value is.
So I ask you this. If you're right there working with the Lakers, you're in the office with Rob Pelinka, and you're saying, you know, you've got that phone number, you've got the speed dial handy to Indiana, back to Kevin Pritchard. I personally am making that call because if they're healthy, Malcolm Brogdon is a 50-40-90 player. He has been in the past. Buddy Hield, Laker Tom loves Buddy Hield because of the fact he'll throw up 10 threes on you and hit at 40% if he's doing at a typical Buddy Hield pace like he was at Sacramento. So your thoughts, I say go for it because like you said, Russell Westbrook, keeping him is the absolute least option at this point that the Lakers won't want to go ahead and do. Because like you said, if they have Russell Westbrook on the roster, it makes things so much harder to go ahead and be a competitive team.
You have to factor in that the part that's beneficial also is that Westbrook is not on the team.
Yeah.
That's a big subtraction and becomes an addition. Just him not a part of that situation.
Yeah.
That play that has to be a big part of it. Protect the 27 and 29 picks. Protect them up to 8. If Indiana is really desperate to move those contracts, I'm pretty confident they'll take that chance where they're getting at least a top 8 draft pick in 27, 29. Lakers.
At least if you do it to 5. I'll give it to 5.
I guess if it's the last thing and you have to do it, you have to. And the reason why you have to do this is because you have to give the LeBron AD reign another year to have a chance at winning a title.
But the only problem is, Joe, in today's trade for DeJounte Murray, DeJounte Murray went from San Antonio to Atlanta. Atlanta gave up two unprotected first-round picks that are sooner than what the Lakers could offer. That's a problem.
Those are two different situations. I think Atlanta thinks that, you know, this is the other issue with the NBA. You know, guys like Brunson are getting, you know, $30 million a year off of one season. People don't seem to learn their lesson with the contract players. Brunson's a great player. He's a nice player. Before him, Julius Randle, nice player.
Well, that's
before
the thing. Is Brunson good enough to be leading the team in New York?
No. He's getting paid like a number one, and that's the problem. In the NBA, it's not really a problem because larger contracts allow you to make deals easier. If you have $30 million that you can put into a deal to get a player you want, you have that player that you can use. However, there are too many very good players earning max money and going to teams and then flaming out after 2 years. Look what happened to Jeremy Grant. Yeah. You know, that was a perfect example. And he's not the only example. You have Julius Randle. You have Jeremy Grant. Brunson's the flavor of the week. Murray's the flavor of the week. Do you really think Murray's going to make that much of a difference in Atlanta to where they're going to go to the finals? I mean, is he that good? I mean, he's good, but he's not going to be a 1A star. It's just, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I do not see it. And it should be evidence that that's not going to happen because San Antonio is one of the best talent evaluators that probably the NBA has ever had and still do that very, very well. Why would they give up on him for three draft picks if they thought that he was going to be the man or at least a number two at least?
Yeah.
It's I'm not going to base that on what the Lakers situation is and what someone else is going to give or not give. We are in a situation where we are desperate to get rid of someone that's a detriment in allowing this team to be a title winner. The other teams that we're going to be going against to see if we can do something, they're trying to offload millions and millions of dollars with several years attached to it. The Lakers are going to have to take on that risk if they want any shot at getting a title-winning team this year. If they don't, they're going to go into the season with Russell Westbrook telling basically us, LeBron, if not directly to his face, but, you know, there.
Well, LeBron saying, won't sign LeBron, an extension.
Well, if LeBron doesn't sign the extension, then the Lakers have made the commitment that we are going to start over next year. That's it. There is no other way to go here.
256 Bradley, he doesn't care what we do. He just wants to get rid of Westbrook. Again, we all want, as far as, and you saw the Lakers season last year, you realize that it's not going to work for Westbrook. Whatever renewed vow he has, supposedly, as far as committing himself to the Lakers team, it's just his game is just not where it needs to be in the modern NBA, and it just does not work as a good fit for the Lakers at this point in time. He might be a good fit on some other team that has a lot of shooting around it that can actually replace a lot of things that he cannot do. Maybe what he can do still well at this age, maybe will work for them. But right now, with what the Lakers have, the options of having and keeping Westbrook and still being a very competitive team, it makes it a really hard deal. So 256 Bradley, couldn't agree with you more. Terrell Davis, same thing. You guys have been great out there, especially out on YouTube, so we truly appreciate it. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, Joe, and again, we will be here tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Pacific, right around there, live. We're going to have our free agency special. You'll hear hours worth of Joe Soro and Laker Tom. Hopefully, Laker Tom will not turn red like he has in our past two trade deadline specials for the Lakers. You should see it, Joe, if you ever look back at it. See him watching him turn red, especially that first year when he was so mad that the Lakers did not make a move for Kyle Lowry. But be that as it may, before we head on out, I'm going to throw some names at you and see if this is something that you think that the Lakers might be interested in as far as getting as a or looking into as a player for the 6.5 mid-level exception. So I'm going to throw some names at you, and we'll see what happens with this. First off, if he is an unrestricted free agent, Jusuf Nurkić. I think he'll go higher. I don't think 6.5 will be enough. I think you'll need more, and I think you'll need the full 10 if he's actually becomes an unrestricted free agent. No, not a name he's interested in. Bruce Brown from the Brooklyn Nets. Good glue guy, but someone who can play certain roles for you.
Brown is would be a good pickup at that number, not only because he's skilled and it would be a bargain in a way. He's got a little bit of a condition of being around a bunch of crybabies.
But he's a nice glue guy. He's a really nice glue guy.
Yeah. He's already, you know, he's already sort of been conditioned to be around the drama. So if he comes to LA, he might not be affected with the pressure and the nonsense that might be in LA, especially if Westbrook is still there. I would say that would work. That would be an acquisition I would welcome.
Probably not going to be able to afford him because he's probably going to sign, I'd say right around 12 and 15, it's Bobby Portis.
There's no chance we're getting Bobby.
Okay.
I would love to get Bobby.
PJ Tucker.
He opted out. I think he's going to get, what, a 3-year deal?
Yeah, I was saying 12 to 15 million a year.
It would be nice to get him. But no way.
PJ Tucker, but most likely he's been rumored.
He's going to Philly.
Yeah.
He's going to Philly. And I'm going back. He's a. He's like in that tweener area of too old, and I don't think it would
work. I think you get another good season, especially a playoff run with him.
I saw enough of him against Houston when we were beating them in the playoffs. I don't want a 6'5 center. I don't want a 6'5 center. I'm sorry, I don't.
Dante DiVincenzo, who just got, again, from Sacramento, they released his rights.
I'm weary on someone like Sacramento dropping a player and wondering if they're good enough.
Maybe that's a get out of jail free for him.
It's very hard, you know. Can he shoot? Yeah. Can he be productive? Can he have a couple games? Sure. Yeah, I know. But Lakers is a different beast, you know. If you can shoot, even if you can shoot, they'll come to the crypt and end up not being able to shoot.
Fair enough. Victor Oladipo. I know this is one that Laker Tom and I have talked about since last season. Victor Oladipo, but I think he'll be too pricey.
Too pricey, and I think his body's finally breaking down to the point where he's
had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, it's just not gonna. We're already dealing with current injury issues with the top two players, and we're probably going to have to deal with the stress of more injury prone players. Should we make a trade to get Westbrook out, we are going to have to, I don't know, purchase some adamantium to keep this team afloat next year. Otherwise, we're going to be playing Russian roulette with who's going to play more than 50 to 60 games.
Kyle Anderson from the Grizzlies. We mentioned this briefly on our last broadcast. Slow-mo.
Sure. But I doubt he'd want to come to LA. Kyle's a kind of a intellectual. That's kind of part of his thing. And I don't know necessarily if he'd want to be around a bunch of guys that are, I don't know.
I'm going to throw a name that's really hot out there. Gary Harris Jr. from Orlando.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take Gary.
I don't think he'll go for 6.5. That's for sure.
I was hoping for some miracle to figure out something with Toronto to get Gary Trent Jr.
You think he'll go higher? I think he'll go higher.
That guy's always hurt us, and he's 20. What is he? 23? And
no, Harris is older.
Harris is older, but I was talking about Trent.
Gary Trent.
In terms of Gary, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Defensive player, can do a lot of things for you. He's actually come back on the rebound. He had a good year in Orlando, coming off the bench for them. I don't think you're going to be able to go ahead and get him because I think he's going to at least get the $10 million MLE. That's my personal feeling on that. I don't think he would just.
Well, sometimes that, you know, those things fall through. I mean, no one expected Monk to fall through. They thought he was going to get the MLE last year, and he didn't. We have to wait. We have to wait to see kind of how things develop. I would take him. Yes, I would, because there's something there. There's something there that can be consistent off the bench. Someone who probably is tired of losing in Orlando and wants to at least have a shot at winning in LA. And he could, you know, market himself a little bit better in LA too for bigger contracts in the future.
I'll throw you this one out at you, even though it is one of the older veterans who may or may not still have something left in the tank. When he came back and he played for Brooklyn, he actually had some moments that he actually did contribute. Goran Dragic may be able to sneak him in with the minimum exception, but most likely he'll be able to get something more than that out there in free.
I want a Goran after the 2020 season.
Wouldn't everybody in the NBA?
I wanted Goran after the time. I was talking to my Miami Heat friend, and I said, that's the guy that this team needs. After they had won the title, I go, man, if they could just somehow find a way to get Goran, that is the perfect player. He is smart. He's a ball handler. He's unassuming. He's quiet. He's team-oriented. I go, that's the guy that's the kind of like the backing for LeBron.
What if you don't make the Indiana trade for whatever reason and you offer Goran with the minimum, veterans minimum, starting spot ahead of Russell Westbrook?
Yes, I would do that in a heartbeat. The problem is Goran his body's breaking down too. I think they'd have to monitor his play to probably 20 to 25 minutes a game. And I don't, if that's the case and you're not playing Westbrook, I don't know if LeBron's going to be, we're going to be able to have LeBron. This is saying that we don't make a drastic change in the team. You know, LeBron, every time we think, hey, man, can we get LeBron to play 25, 30 minutes a game? He ends up playing 36 minutes, 38 minutes for like a month, and it ends up being a problem.
So let me ask you this one. Okay, we did talk about Isaiah Hartenstein. I think he's going to go a little, I think there's going to be a bidding war on him and his services because he played very well for the Clippers. If he does sign with the Clippers or someone else, I also, Zubac just made a killing as far as a 3-year, 33 million.
Well, that pretty much seals the deal that he's not going back to L.A.
Most likely, yeah. Although, you know what? Ballmer's got some cash, so you never know. But congratulations to Zubac, who I always appreciate as a player. Wish he would have never left the Lakers, and I thought that was a terrible trade to get him out of the Lakers and went to the Clippers. Still regretting that one. But we also talked about Mo Bamba. If he does become available, and he's available at that $6.5 million, I think the Lakers, you know, that would be a decent option for them because he does go ahead and protect the rim. Got more reach than virtually anybody else in the NBA. Plus, he can shoot 40% from three. So as long as you're not expecting too much out of him, 20, 25 minutes a game, I think you can do a pretty good job with him right there in the middle. One of the names I did want to talk to you about is Thomas Bryant. Do you see him as maybe a return to LA? He did get an injury, but his game before the injury that he suffered at Washington, his game really developed, and he became a pretty good stretch ball five.
Yeah, I would definitely. He's young and has a skill set that we need. I'm tired of. I think all we talk about is injuries in the NBA these days. I don't remember it being like this. I remember we used to have issues with Shaq kind of being lackadaisical during the regular season, but we never ever worried about him when it mattered. Nowadays, it's, you know, the fact that I was having discussions with people about Kyrie Irving before, you know, he opted back in. They're like, well, okay, so if we get Kyrie Irving and he plays 50 games, hey, that might be this. And I'm like, 50 games? Like, we're just making this okay now. Oh, let's just get this guy. Well, he's injured, but he might play 60 games. Like, I don't know. Modern medicine, first class flying, massage people, nutritionists, all this, and it got worse? Yeah. Youth. Bring in as much youth. I want youth on this team, even if they are suspect in certain areas. At this point, we have no other choice.
ET was talking about Miles Bridges. He said the Lakers could get Miles Bridges for cheap. LAPD sources tell him.
Yeah, that's a clincher there for I think the term that I read was it was domestic violence, like the header was not good. But I think he was always slated to go back to Charlotte anyways.
Charlotte actually, they didn't tender him in the right, that offer. They didn't have enough confidence in him. But then he had that breakout season last season, so he's looking to get paid. So whether or not that Charlotte's going to be able to match, we'll wait and see on that one. But I think he's going to get a nice big fat contract because he will be one of the most coveted players out there in free agency. Not the most spendful of owners out there. I know that they try to keep things on the cheap and under the tax, but they might have to get Miles Bridges as far as it's concerned. When they pay him, they're going to have to probably go over the tax unless they can get rid of some of those contracts. Maybe to the Lakers. We'll wait and see. But Joe,
that's the one. I think is when all else fails. Charlotte. I think Charlotte's going to be the one.
I would rather go Indiana personally. I'd rather gamble on Indiana with that backcourt, and I'll take that because again, with Tyrese Halliburton, they're looking to move that option as far as going and ahead and different options away from Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hield. So I would personally love to see that over the Charlotte Hornets options as far as Gordon Hayward. Not really a fan of his, not really a thinking that maybe he's going to be able to stay healthy for an entire season anymore. I think that's going to be an issue there. But I really think of the two, I would say Indiana, if that's the one you could work out, that's probably the better thing for the Lakers. Because then if they're healthy, you've got your backcourt set, got your front court set, and the only thing you would need to do is spend that $6.5 million on a decent center, and there you go.
Charlotte's going to be the one, the last resort, and because they're a team that's not as desperate as the Lakers, but desperate to not pay, and that right there is going to be the revealer when this free agency summer starts, is which team is finally going to get to that point where, like, man, we really need to unload these contracts. We cannot wait any longer. Call Rob. Let's get that guy over here. Let's get this out of here. In 9 months, we're cleared. And then Rob's going to have to make a decision on how he's going to set up his draft picks if he gives those up. Because I think he can make that Charlotte deal without giving up all their draft picks. They could make it work because they're both equally at some point going to need to do the deal. Charlotte's the other one. Then the Lakers have to hope that Rozier, which is likely going to be in the deal, and then Hayward somehow stay healthy. Can they? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore.
I just think Brogdon's a better fit on what the Lakers.
He is a better fit. He is a better fit, but I don't think Indiana does the deal without fleecing the Lakers. Charlotte wants to dump money just like we want to dump Russell Westbrook. They're more apt to just make the deal and get out of their head, get this out of their hair, and then the Lakers have to pray that Gordon Hayward doesn't get injured. If there's any kind of something there during the year, he would help if he's not injured. Rozier is a good player, small, but he has a role on this team. And then Lakers getting a Bamba, getting a Hartenstein, and then crossing your fingers and seeing if we can get a couple of young, kind of not maybe really really good, but at least somewhat average 3D type players, and then maybe team chemistry hits halfway through the season and it starts to work out. And
maybe
then,
re-signing a Monk.
And then maybe if Monk is, I have a lot of respect for Monk. I think it was nice of him to say that, hey man, I'm willing to stay here. You guys helped me kind of resurrect my career. I'm willing to stay for just a little bit less than, but come on. If he gets a $10 million offer, he's going to take it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the problem there, and the Lakers do have a lot of things to worry about and concern themselves with, but it is the Lakers Fast Break. We do truly appreciate you watching and listening out there. Thank you so much for being part of our live coverage on our Facebook Twitch and YouTube channels. Once again, just go Lakers Fast Break on YouTube, Twitch, and also as well Facebook. Go ahead and give us a shout out at any point in time on Twitter at Lakers Fast Break, plus also as well LakersFastBreak at yahoo.com. But before we head on out, Joe, wanted to stay on just a few extra minutes because we've got so many people watching right now. Wanted to go ahead and say, ask you again, Joe, if you were running the Lakers tomorrow, what are you expecting to do and see happen for the Lakers? And what do you think the Lakers can go ahead and work out come 3 o'clock Pacific time?
You're going to want to make offers to Bamba, Hartenstein, the young guys in positions that you want, that you need, whoever those guys are, whoever they have their eyes fixed on. And then you're going to kind of see how things develop with those who are desperate to unload years beyond next year. Those are your only bets, only chances of being able to dump Westbrook. I don't believe in any way that the Lakers are excited or content on starting next year with Westbrook. I think that is a giant lie. And they can't say anything other than what they're saying because there is a big chance that they won't have a choice. So by not setting the bridge on fire, they now set themselves up for, you know, if they get asked, well, I thought you guys were, you know, I thought Darvin Ham was going to help Westbrook. Well, guys, we got an offer that we
you can't
say
work
no
miracles,
to.
Man.
I don't
can't change a player in his 13th
year. I'm not going to put Darvin Ham in his first head coaching job in a position where he has to tell a guy who's making $47 million how to make a layup. Yeah, that's absolutely asinine. Does. How are you even going to – how is that even going to make any sense? Why would you – I couldn't do that if I was running a team. I'm not going to sit there and tell Darvin Ham, hey, dude, look, we're the LA Lakers. And, yeah, we made a mistake last year getting this player, but you're going to need to tell Westbrook he needs to play more team ball. And, by the way, he's got to make layups.
Laker Tom in our last episode said he's 80% sure the Lakers are going to go ahead and trade Westbrook by the time, or at least Westbrook will not be on the roster come opening night. When we talked to Jamie Sweet was the exact opposite, and he's 80% sure that the Lakers will have Russell Westbrook on the roster because he thinks, like I do, and I'm going to be honest with you, not that I want it, but I think it's just going to happen because the Lakers are just going to run out of resources unless you take a trade like Indiana or Charlotte, that I think it's looking more and more like the majority decision as far as the majority percentage, per se, is going to be on Russell Westbrook staying. So what side are you on? Are you on Laker Tom's side as far as it's concerned, or do you are on Jamie Sweet's and mine as far as thinking that most likely we're going to be stuck with Russell Westbrook whether we like it or not?
I think 80% is a good – it's a fair number because it's something they have to do. The only reason why they won't be able to do it, and that's where that 20% comes in, is if there is absolutely no way of a deal happening. But the reason why it's valid – is because there are teams out there that have to unload large contracts. And some of those contracts have talent on them. And the Lakers are going to have to make a decision on whether they're going to keep Westbrook and guarantee they're not going to win a title next year, or risk getting injury-prone players and having to pay them a little bit more money. And maybe they work. That's it. There is nothing else. There is no way out of this unless they sit there and say, all right, bring in LeBron. Let's say at the end of July, nothing happens. All right, bring in LeBron. LeBron, we need you to be Tom Brady for real this time. What the hell does that mean? Well, we're going to play out next year knowing we're not going to win a title. And we need you to be Tom Brady and commit to our team after next year. After next year, when we unload that $47 million contract, we are going to go hard and heavy on getting a team that's going to be a title contender for 23-24.
I don't know, Joe.
That's it. There's nothing else, guys. Now, as us fans, we're okay. I mean, look, LeBron brought us a title. LeBron cemented really, I mean, he had already cemented it before, but he really cemented his career. Three teams, three titles, three finals MVPs. What more do you want at this point if you have his career? You want to pass Jordan in titles or tie him or break Kareem's record. He's going to break Kareem's record next year, so he'll have that. What else can he do? What else really can he do at that point other than say, all right, well, I'll see how my body reacts next year. And, you know, I hate to say this because, again, I don't like to pick on children, but it looks like that Bronny's dropping more and more in the rankings.
I know, I see.
And I'm not a nepotism guy when it comes to professional sports. I go, if you're not good enough to play, I'm not going to bend backward. This, you can't do that. You just can't.
Well, the Lakers did already with Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, but that's a summer league thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't really count. And G League is created for players like Sharif, guys that don't want to go to school, want to come play and make money playing basketball. And if they develop like a Caruso or a Reeves, then you know you did good.
Because Pippen Jr. actually has an actual chance to make the actual Lakers team if things fall right, similar to what we saw with Austin Reeves last year. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I think that when it comes to Shaquille O'Neal, though, the lines are not looking good. But like you said, if he goes maybe with the South Bay Lakers, you never know what may happen 2-3 years down the line.
It's not something I'm thinking about. I'm relieved that the Celtics lost. It's too bad too, because I feel like, you know, there's this. I really like Jason Tatum and I like Jaylen Brown. You've heard me say this. I really like their team. I like their coach. I like everything about that team. It's just they're wearing the wrong colors. And at this point, my thought process is I just want to get to 18, and it's probably gonna take a little bit longer now, unless something drastic happens. Even if you make those trades, you know, with Charlotte or Indiana or whatever, you're gonna still need an MVP type season from AD. You can get all the right role players, let's say this offseason, let's say they do, but AD has to play like 2020 AD. Yep. He was no disrespect to Giannis, but I can't figure out how the heck he didn't win the Defensive Player of the Year that year. He was phenomenal there.
Well, that's the kind of
need that AD.
Need that AD indeed, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. It will be Thursday. We'll be live 2:30 p.m. Pacific. We'll be right here at YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook, the Lakers Fast Break channels, wherever you get your podcasts as well. We'll have, as far as if you miss anything, we'll have the audio version available that'll go up on Friday. So please go ahead and check out our coverage tomorrow live as it happens. We'll go ahead and talk about what's going on with the Lakers and the NBA, the greatest, latest going on with NBA free agency. But Joe, any last thoughts before we head on out?
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's my first free agency show. I know you guys did very well last year doing it. And the NBA free agent frenzy is the best offseason by far in any sport. The offseason in the NBA, when the clock hits, well, now it's 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern. Which I thought that was a brilliant move, by the way, because I used to hate waiting until 9 o'clock. I can only imagine what people on the East Coast would say. I am excited to just – I like – it's the only time I like Twitter. You know,
you follow on Twitter, too.
It's that breaking news thing. Breaking news is one of the most exciting things in sports, especially when it comes to which guy is going where. And the NBA has mastered that activity. And being able to talk about it, being able to represent Lakers ball, being a commentator to so many great people that are starting to watch the show, people that are watching the show right now. Guys, this is going to start getting bigger and bigger as we go, because the dialogue we're having here is just it's going to be better. And I promise we're going to be bringing information that matters with a little bit of attitude. I think that's you always want to keep that going, because it does excite, does make the juices flow a little bit.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens there. But again, it'll be our coverage of NBA free agency starting at 2:30 p.m. Pacific on Thursday. Please join us then. And thank you so much. If you have any questions again for us, we're available all the time at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak at Yahoo.com. Always put your comments at YouTube. Always put your comments at Facebook. We try to answer them as best we can. But we truly appreciate you supporting us. And we'll see you for NBA free agency right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.